I am going to hold on to this grudge against Tom as long as he's held on to the one that caused him to make that decision. Hello. Welcome to Half In, Half Out, the only LGBTQ plus gymnastics podcast. I'm Kino.
And I'm Blake, and today we are talking about lots of random nonsense.
But we missed everybody, so we should probably talk about them, like something, yeah, you know, random nonsense.
Things have occurred.
Things have occurred, but also nothing's really happening.
Yeah. You want to hear my outline that I just made for the episode?
Ooh. Oh, it's on a sticky note.
Yeah, it has three items on it. You ready?
Oh, no.
Number one is Kyla.
Yes.
Number two is trains. And number three is Twitter questions.
Yeah, I like all of those things. Do you think we should do it in that order? Should trains be the buffer?
Yeah, but I also think that's the title of the episode. Kyla Ross, trains and Twitter questions.
Yes. I'm excited to talk about trains.
I'm glad. I'm also excited to hear you talk about trains.
I just think it's hilarious that the trains thing is now a thing on this as well as the rest of my life. So
we've both been having really weird months. Yeah. Basically, like, since the Olympics has just been like various versions of chaos.
Yes.
So it's good to just like talk to you. And I'm glad that we can talk about progress and trains and the questions from Twitter.
I know. I haven't talked. It's so weird. I haven't talked to you as much. We've both been just so busy. And, you know, life is life and it's 2021 and 2021 is being 2021. I do have a lot of thoughts and feelings about the Kyla thing, though.
Yes. Okay. So let's start with that. Kyla Ross is the volunteer assistant coach at Arkansas.
Which I was very surprised by.
Me too.
So the reason I'm so surprised is because of, well, first of all, because Kyla was like a human and molecular or like, you know, human cellular biology major, something it very complicated, took 5 years. Like,
and it's going to be some kind of medical professional,
like a real smart major. Like,
yeah,
I can't imagine doing that and being an athlete. Not that athletes aren't smart. That's not what I mean.
Yeah. It's not that like coaches are supposed to like have one academic background or anything. It's just like I feel like people had directly asked her if she was going to coach and she was like, no, I like want to do this other thing.
Well, I wonder if she's coaching in the interim. And yeah, why she's an assistant, probably. Volunteer assistant, because I'm like, maybe she's is going to go to graduate school, or maybe she's just taking time off, especially because of like the chaos of the last year and a half.
Yeah.
But I was like, when everybody's like, oh my gosh, Kylie took this volunteer position, and I was just like,
with Fish and Jordan.
Right. Like, so that makes sense to me.
But also that's like, yes.
Yes. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just think like, it's not that I don't want Kyla to be a coach by any means. I think Kyla would be a lovely coach. It's just, we've never gotten that vibe before. And I'm kind of like, but I still want you to achieve all your medical field dreams. I don't know, but maybe her dreams have changed. Her dreams have changed.
It's exciting. I'm super excited.
Yes.
This almost gets into a Twitter question, but I will not let it go there. So we don't have obviously like all of the college schedules yet, but we have some. We don't have the Arkansas schedule. We just have like one or two meets where other people's schedules are released in Arkansas. But if Arkansas comes anywhere near here or you, that's another question, is like, what are our travel plans? So we'll get into it.
The answer is we kind of don't really know.
Yeah, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But I would go to a meet to see. I bought and singular season ticket for Michigan as soon as they went on sale. Because I wanted to make sure that no matter what was going on, like if Michigan had a pride meet or if somebody cool came to Michigan, because that's how I got to see Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I came to Michigan and I was like, this is rad. And I got to like briefly talk to Maggie Nichols and like got to see Brenna Dowell and like very glad I got to do that. And so mm-hmm. I got a season ticket. I actually technically put it in the podcast name because I wasn't sure how season tickets were going to work, especially like COVID-y stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure that if there was a situation where we needed to pick something up, like mm-hmm. every meet, that if we were giving the ticket to somebody else, that it could be in like the podcast name, right, and not them asking in somebody else's name and them trying to be like ID or something. And so I put in the podcast name, but we have a season ticket to Michigan.
You're gonna have people show up. I'd like the half in, half out Michigan right. season pass, please.
I'm like 99% sure they're like sending me a thing. And if like I show up to a meet and somebody like stole my thing, I will like find you.
Yeah, I will find you. But we'll be in podcast Hall of Shame.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm not necessarily going to be at all of them, but like when cool people are there, or if like, so if Arkansas comes to Michigan, I will be there.
Right. I know. I just wish like meets on Fridays get so complicated for me.
Same.
But that meet is a Saturday, isn't it?
Yes, it's March 11th.
Which is a Friday. Yeah, it's a Friday. Yeah. Fridays are fun.
It's just messy. But
we'll talk about it more in a little bit. But
other thoughts on Kyla Ross, other than I hope that we get to see her at some point.
I think that I'm glad that Kyla would coach, though, rather than be a commentator, not because I don't think she would be a good commentator, but I don't think would fit the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Kyla would be an excellent commentator. She'd be very knowledgeable. I just don't think that she would probably be as happy as a commentator, because a lot of people are like, this person should be a commentator. And I'm like, but what if that's not their jam?
Yeah, I especially what we saw of her in like her last year at UCLA, I was like, oh, this is a person who, like, I think prior to that year, I think I would have thought of her as somebody who was like just a little quiet or shy to coach, maybe. Not that like you can't be quiet in a coach, but like I think I just would have been a little more surprised. And then I saw senior year Kyla and I was like, oh
yes.
Okay. This like, makes a lot of sense.
Kyla just has such a quiet confidence, but also that translates really well into like helping coach people. Because like I just feel like Kyla would make you feel very like secure and safe. And
yes. So I was just gonna say, when I was going into my senior year of college, I was an orientation group leader. And I almost didn't apply. I'm very glad I did it. I almost didn't apply for the job because you had to dance into every orientation that you worked.
Nope, right. Absolutely not.
And so I like got through it or whatever and like barely danced. But that is like my actual worst fear in anything is like public dancing.
I thought you were going to say public humiliation.
No, yeah, but like public dancing in particular. And so, and I also just didn't think that I had applied the year before and I didn't get it. And I kind of just thought that it was like, I don't have the right type of personality that I'm looking for. And then I think a lot of things changed, like socially, politically, and things happened in the OGL year before me. That I think changed some of the ways they made decisions, and then I got it the next year. But I remember being really nervous about the fact that I wasn't like peppy, because one of the other things you had to do was like you had like a word that represented your group. So like I had determination, so did my friend Rhea, and you had to get your group to like yell it at other groups.
And I that stresses me out too.
And when I do that, but then a really cool thing happened, which was like I kind of told my groups, like, if like a group of you are really enthusiastic about wanting to do the thing, I got your back, we can totally do it. It's not my jam, and I know it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, so we're probably not going to do a lot of the yelling. And I had so many students tell me like that day or weeks later or like a year plus later that meant the world to them. Like, it made them so much more comfortable knowing that they didn't have to do that. And that's kind of how I feel about Kyla, in a space where not a lot of people have similar energy to her in coaching space. So I'm just like, oh, you have an opportunity to connect with gymnasts who are more like you in personality, who I think are often like overlooked or misunderstood by coaches.
Yeah.
Okay. Thing two, trains.
Okay. So this is really funny that this actually came up. So I don't know if I've ever talked about trains on the podcast. I don't know if it was just me like tweeting about trains. But some people know, I guess I know at least Collie's Bars, a longtime supporter of the podcast, knows that I like trains. This starts probably about 4 years ago. I'm gonna take you on a journey. I was driving home one night from work and I was stopped at a train. Very common where I live that you get stopped by trains when you're going places. And I was like, you know, and I was just like, I had this epiphany while sitting at the train tracks and it's dark. And I was like, trains are really cool because trains have been around so long and like the technology keeps getting better, but the technology hasn't really changed, if that makes sense. Like, trains are still effectively trains. Like, it's not even like, oh, we invented an airplane that was like made of cloth, you know, like the Wright brothers. And it was like, you know, one of those, whatever, the ones that go like this. Nobody can see my hands, but they have a name. It's by something, the like whatever, by wing, bifocal airplanes. That's not how it is with trains. It's like they invented the technology and now the only thing that really changed is like how they run or what they carry. And I was like, trains are so cool. And I texted this to my best friend and she was like, I mean, yeah, they're cool, but like what? So then it became a thing that I'm like kind of really into trains, and I'm not even into the trains. Like, I don't know a lot of facts about trains. I'm not like, oh, this train was invented and was used, and like, I don't know anything. I probably know more about like how we exploited people and immigrants to build the railroad than I do know about actual trains. Yeah. So this has kind of just become like a quiet, like private joke in my personal life, but I tweeted about it once or something, because then I was supposed to go to Korea and Japan. And I was really excited because I was going to be able to ride a bullet train for the first time. And then guess what? COVID. So I didn't get to ride a bullet train for the first time. And I'm still really upset about it. And I always talk about how it's so stupid that the US doesn't have high speed rail. And I think maybe I'm also just really into high speed rail because like the idea of going on a train that fast is just like so cool. And then Collie's Bars like sent me this whole like long thing about like infrastructure and why the US doesn't have high speed rail. And it made me really sad, but it was really informative. And I was just like, yeah, but I still want trains. And then Pete Buttigieg became the Secretary of Transportation. And I'm like, okay, Pete Buttigieg, your job is to get a high speed rail. That is your most important job, because I don't know what else you're doing as the Director of Secretary of Transportation, to be perfectly honest.
Come on, Mayor Pete.
Come on, Mayor Pete. So, so I have this really weird like love affair with trains, and it just like comes up like all the time. Like, I'll see like a book about trains and somebody will be like, oh, like, do you want to buy this book? And I'm like, well, no, I don't want to buy this book about trains. Or like, yeah. I'll be watching a TV show and somebody will be like, did you recognize that there was a train?
I own this shirt.
This says I like trans, and it's a person on a train.
With the trans flag sticking out of the back. Yeah.
Yes.
Lindsay texted me one day randomly, like a couple years ago, and was like, and she's like a relatively well-known YouTuber. And she was just like, I'm gonna buy 20 of these for people if you run the giveaway. Like, yeah. if you manage the like how to choose people, whatever.
Right.
And I'll buy you one too. And so I was like,
and you were like, great, I will.
Absolutely. So I made a spreadsheet and then I got this shirt. And it
you should have worn it today.
I should have. I'm wearing my like rainbow team shirt. It's so weird that I don't like I can never wear it. Like, I feel like there's like, because there hasn't been pride.
Right.
And also for Pride, like, I have better stuff to wear. Like, and it's not, like, comfortable as a sleep shirt. So I just, like, I, like, haven't figured out when. It would have been perfect if I still had my old job. Like, I would have worn it.
Right.
Like, to work with, like, a cardigan or something.
Right.
But.
Yeah. So I guess that's the whole thing about trains. So here's the thing.
I like trains. I'm not, like, a train nerd. But I wish we had better rail travel in this country. All of my Amtrak experiences have been delightful.
In grad school, like, I took the train every day because that I didn't have a car. I really like trains. And that's the thing. Yeah. It's I can't tell you facts. I can't tell you when the steam engine was invented. I probably should know that from, like, history class in high school. But I can't tell you that. I can't tell you. I can tell you, like, that Shinkansen are, like, what they call bullet trains in Japan. And I think they're really cool. And they're, like, super, super cool. And I totally want to go on one. And, like, I can tell you that it's stupid that we don't have more rail travel in the United States. But, like, a lot of my things about trains are feelings. It's not facts. Like, I can't teach you anything other than, like, we exploited, like, Chinese immigrants to build the railroad. And not just Chinese immigrants, but, like.
Yeah.
We exploited a bunch of people to build it. Like, you know, it was like, they're just so cool. And I just, like, love the idea that a train is timeless. I hate that we don't have trains with, like, dinner cars anymore.
Same. Like, I don't want to go. I was literally just going to say my one qualm with trains is that I'm on it for too long for you to not have a decent food situation.
Like, that's because you have to bring your own food.
I know, but I've been on long train rides where it's like, we totally have this stuff. And then they, like, don't. Like, it's, like, never open.
Like, I have a story. Like, I was during my study abroad, I was like visiting France for the weekend and I was coming back to the UK. So I'm on the Channel. And I accidentally misbooked my ticket because I'm a dumb American. And I thought that I booked my return ticket for 8 p.m. and I booked it for 8 a.m. because I forgot that we were using 24-hour time. And I thought stupidly, like an American, I'm like, well, I'm booking in American dollars. Why wouldn't it be not in American time, like in 12-hour time? So I had to take a business class ticket back. And they gave me, like, a little meal. And I was like, this is included?
There are certain levels of upgrades that if you have, like, if you have money that you could afford to do these things, like the slightly better economy in a plane is usually worth the money.
Yes.
The business class on a train, I've also been business class on a train. I don't think I got a meal. I think it was too short, but I've also been business class on a train. Absolutely worth it.
Well, here's the thing though. It's Europe and you're barely on this train because you're going from France to England in the Channel and they're still giving you a meal. This is shorter than a flight in America and they're not giving you, like, then in America, they're not giving you a meal on that plane.
Why do we live here? Oh, God.
Oh, well, no, I just think that's also just, like, they've totally, like, changed the way they do food on planes.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, if you went 3 hours on a plane, they'd be like, yeah, here, have lunch, dinner, and a snack. Whereas now it's just like, let's make it as cheap as possible.
Yeah. And also, the chair is, like,
stapled to the ground.
Everybody, but also, like, everybody gets to the airport super early because you never know. And so then everybody has time to go to the food places and there's a million food places. Unless you're trying to fly out of North Carolina after being frisked by the TSA at, like, it was like 6 or 7 p.m. Like, it was not, like, late. Like, it was.
Was it a Sunday?
I don't think so. But everything was like already closed. And I was like,
it's the airport though.
I was like, there's still, I was like, I think we were one of the last flights, but I was like, could you, like, wait like 20 more minutes, please?
Look, if I'm flying out of an airport that's really, really small at 6 a.m. and Subway will give me the meatball sub because I want it and I don't want breakfast, you should be able to get dinner at 7 p.m. in North Carolina.
Right. It was like a weird tiny terminal where I swear to God, I walked in the front doors and I went through a time machine. It looked exactly like I imagine airports looking when I was a tiny, like whatever the first time I flew was.
Right.
And I was like, what is happening? And then it was the worst TSA experience of my life. Okay, so
wait, I have one more thing to say about trains. I have two more things to say about trains. Is that okay?
Please continue about trains.
Two more things, and then I promise we're done.
No, that's fine.
My family went to the Grand Canyon, and they have a train that you can take to the Grand Canyon. That was really cool. And then they had a fake train robbery done with actors, and they steal your money. It's really just tips. He tried to steal my contact case, and I was just like, no, you can't have it. I need this for my eyes. And he was like, no, I need it because I'm a train robber. And I was just like, and then he like obviously wasn't going to take it. But that was really cool because it was like an old timey, like a fake old timey train. And then my other thing is like, I was kind of like beyond the age of like watching like Thomas the Tank Engine. Okay. But like, that's a very popular, like, even now, I think for kids, like really little kids, to watch the trains talk to each other and have them have a human friend, right?
Shout out to my little brother.
Yeah, like Thomas the Train. Okay, fine. The green train, Percy, is a total dick. And I thought that as a kid, too. He was so mean to Thomas and the other trains. And he's the green train. So everybody should hate on him. And that's, I guess, my last feeling about trains. But now you guys all know why I'm really into trains. And I'm not even really into trains. I just like to talk about trains and how cool they are. And they're timeless. And like Kali's Bars, shout out again, sends me like the video that she watches in her high speed rail class every week. Like this week, she sent me, it's all in Japanese, so I can't understand it. But it's about Japanese bullet trains. And I'm pretty sure. And last week she sent one where France set the record for like the fastest train. And it was really, really dramatic. And I just really enjoyed it because I just think that we need to appreciate trains more. Like people forget about them. And like
every time I visit a place that's like train heavy, I'm like, this is the way to go.
It is. And like,
I live in Metro Detroit, which was like built for everybody to work at car place and buy a car from the place.
They don't believe in trains there.
Okay. Twitter questions.
But yeah. Twitter questions. Thank you for listening to us talk about transportation.
Yeah.
Mayor Pete, if you're listening, I think that your new children would really like you to build a high-speed rail system in the United States.
I could not agree more. okay. So let's start with the ones that I already kind of alluded to. So one was, what are our travel plans for 2022? And then another one was, are we going to Auburn at Michigan in March? I am going to Auburn at Michigan in March.
I am going to try. So it's just, that's too far. Honestly, everybody, that's too far ahead for me to think right now. Like not too far that I can't my calendar.
When we get the heads up that tickets are like about to become regular season, like single meet tickets are going to become available, then we will try to like get the details in order I will probably, to be so honest,
buy one just in case.
I will probably buy a few.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
Because even I don't remember what kind of season ticket I bought. I don't remember if I bought in general or assigned. Mm-hmm. But I would literally just like probably buy another ticket just so that I had like the other
options,
the other view.
Right.
And then I also like, I don't know if there's anything legally weird about us giving them away.
Right.
There probably is. But I know a bunch of people who would want to, you know what I mean? So
I guess the reason I can't say yes right now.
They're like 10 bucks.
Yeah, it's not like a financial issue. It's really more of like, okay, can I get there in time? But also logistically.
You just have to take the day off.
Right. And so like logistically, I have to know what the entire NCAA schedule looks like.
Yes.
To make some of these decisions.
Because the other part of the question, what are our travel plans? Good Lord, I wish we knew. So I'm going to say this as vaguely as humanly possible so that nobody gets in trouble. There is a meet that might happen in January that we might want to go to that would involve like significantly more travel than any of the other ones that we're going to talk about that we can.
And it would. Yeah.
And so that would be like using the savings we have, draining resources situation. Yeah,
a lot of this is like, it's logistical, like It's logistical in the sense of like we have to decide like time off work, and we only have so much. And also it's like, okay, financially, like if
also,
like the podcast can't, yeah.
If I'm taking time off in certain parts of the school year and March is one of them, mm-hmm. sometimes I just like can't, and sometimes I have to ask like way, way, way ahead of time because it can only be like one of us or two of us out. So like March 11th at Michigan, at most I might need that like a half day at most off, probably not. And so that will be fine. But like Big Ten Championships, which is the 19th of March.
But that's a Saturday, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Because regionals are on a Saturday too, which is helpful. But like certain travel we have to do together. You know, like here's the thing. If we have to fly somewhere, obviously Blake is not going through an airport without me.
There are certain situations in which it would be totally fine.
Yes, but it depends on where we're going. And yeah, not that, like, I don't believe you can advocate for yourself, but like
the one that we're talking about, it would certainly be iffy. It wouldn't, but honestly, getting there is fine. It's the getting back, right?
Right. No, I know, but like there, like, you know, considering like your experiences in the past, I would rather us to be able to travel together.
Yeah.
You know, like because we are trying to go. It's really iffy. And you know, especially with, you know, the precariousness of COVID, like,
yeah,
we are not trying to avoid this question. We are having serious talks. No, yeah, we just don't know.
We're having talks about Big Tens. We're having talks about traveling to either pride meets or just like matchups where we would be able to get multiple people
mm-hmm.
Who've been on the podcast before or open the career or whatever, to where they're at like matchups against each other. And we have to make decisions about which ones, and we don't have all the schedule yet.
No, we don't.
We're hopefully going to go to like.
Like where, do we know where NCAA Mag is yet? Nationals? Because we were going to go and then we couldn't because of COVID.
I mean, it could change because of COVID stuff.
Oh, it says Oklahoma. It says Oklahoma.
It's Oklahoma.
We're not going to Oklahoma.
No, and then it's not Penn State.
But Oklahoma, but that's
2024 is Ohio State, so that one we can do.
Like, here's the thing. Like, not to be like, no, I don't want to go to Oklahoma because it's literally like it's logistically not possible. Like, if we're going west and we're going to California, right. You know what I mean? Like, there that's are right. certain. It's just. The farther west we go, it's different when we're on this half of the country.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about regionals.
Yeah. There are, we could potentially go to.
These are absolutely different from the ones that I just saw.
You were looking at last night.
So that's weird. I trust the other source more. But yeah. So. We don't know. We're going to travel. But
we're working on it.
I will absolutely, if I I will find a way to be at Auburn at Michigan because I already have a ticket for it and I'm very excited.
Our most, the only upcoming travel plans that we have are going to Simone's tour.
Yes. Which like is not travel for me, it's travel for you.
It's travel for me. So like, that's not like... That's the only thing that we're like, oh, technically we're doing this. Like, and that's travel.
Yeah, that we know of. And people are also traveling to us.
Yeah, so.
To go with us. Such as the Megan Robbins, which related question, Megan Robbins had to ask, are you secret murderers? My friend Glennis heard about our plans to attend Simone Stewart together, and she's very concerned that I'm meeting strangers from the internet. Alternately, are you catfishing me? She would like to know.
Well, let's just say this. Blake and I still have only met in person once.
That is a true statement.
So technically, Blake could murder me.
Yeah. Gus would
please
murder
don't murder me.
No, we are not.
We are not.
murderers or catfishing you.
No.
If you would like the video of this recording, you are like the one person who I would actually send it to.
Yeah. Yeah. I would trust like you, the Megan, like the one person.
Yeah. Basically. So yeah, we're real life human beings. And I'm sure there's actually ways for us to like prove that to you and your friend.
Yeah. Let's FaceTime. Or we could Zoom like we're doing right now.
Right. okay. So a question from Christina. So just thinking, as students are back on campus and preseason NCAA gym is underway, who are your up and coming teams to keep an eye on, i.e. not Michigan and UCLA, but teams fans might not have on their radar? And I said, I was basically like, is this a raid? And she was like, oh, do you know? I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh no, I'm kidding. Like this, I cracked up. And her example was Towson, which I think is a great example. Mm-hmm. Obviously Auburn, obviously Arkansas.
Oregon State. I'm looking forward to LIU having a more like substantial regular season.
Yeah.
Like not like substantial meaning like not being canceled because of like COVID stuff.
Yeah, like they were one of the teams that actually had to like cancel meets sometime.
Right. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to just like seeing schools that we didn't get to see a lot of last year. Like we didn't see Stanford last year.
Yes.
You know, I don't know, Stanford is like it's not like it's a bigger program.
Yeah.
Because it's Stanford, but
yeah. Stanford for sure. Cal. Mm-hmm. I'm
looking forward to see what Cal's gonna do this year.
Same. I feel like I've said before that I've been on team Georgia is ready for a comeback.
I was thinking the same thing. I really think that Georgia is on the up and up.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about Victoria's bars actually all day. So the reason I've been thinking about it is because somebody asked, like, what are your top three floor routines? And I was like, I can name like my top floor routines across all the disciplines of gymnastics. But like, let's be real here, like bars and beam are more my thing. And I was like, what was a bars routine that you really loved this year? And that was the answer is Victoria's at Georgia. Yeah. I just like the between the bars. I want to say it's a between the bars Delchev, but maybe it's a ganger. So I can't remember because it's long.
I just really enjoyed watching them. Yeah, good leadership coming through. And that was one of the teams that left the biggest impression on me last year, as like from us starting the podcast and not following as many teams as I do now to like, mm-hmm. when I think of like who I want to watch, Georgia's pretty high up on that list.
It's a ganger, by the way. I just figured out. I made sure I Googled. It's a between the bars ganger.
My other two would be, and yes, like, yes, I'm biased. Would be Wisconsin Eau Claire. Two reasons. Yes. Kaya was really cool. Totally sold me on D3. And a woman who works at my gym, her daughter is also.
Also, we can cut this out because I don't know if it's considered like poor form to say this, but like apparently they were ranked last, like in the total of everything. And I don't say that as an insult. So like
underdog. There's a mathematical reason.
Well, yeah, they only had four meets.
Yeah. So it wasn't even like, I feel like you could keep it in, but you have to clarify that it was because they didn't have.
Like, so yeah, they came in like ranked out of all of the teams last. And it's literally actually, because they had four meets. That's according to Spencer.
Let's go through all of Michaela's questions.
Yes.
Rapid fire Michaela questions. How do you feel about orcas? Are they the top predators of the sea?
I feel like orcas, are those the killer whales? Are we not supposed to call them that because it's mean?
Maybe.
Okay, well, I think if that's true, then I would say yes, orcas are the top predators of the sea, because think about how much bigger they are than like a shark. Except for, I'm pretty sure there's probably something living at the bottom of the ocean that's a bigger predator.
The scale we just of don't whales know. Freaks me out. So probably yes. Do you prefer Christmas or Halloween? I will amend this to for me to be Hanukkah or Halloween. Actually, I should have to choose between Christmas, Hanukkah, and Halloween. I think my favorite would be a Hanukkah because
food.
And I really like the structure of like 8 nights, which mm-hmm. like not for not everyone means 8 gifts, but for me and Danae, it doesn't. Some of them are like extremely small, whatever.
Right.
I've found really like creative, cute things to do with mm-hmm. like the 8. So like this year I got like 8 different Redbubble stickers, and those were like the gift tags, and then like on the back, it was like on the back, and then you like flipped it over and like would see what the sticker was and then get a present. And sometimes the stickers had to do with the present.
So cute.
So I like Hanukkah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Do you prefer warm weather or
cold? Wait. I want to clarify why I don't really like Halloween.
Oh, go ahead.
I just like, I'm not into scary stuff, and I feel like that's why people really like Halloween. And I would just like Christmas, like I can spend time with my family. And Halloween is just like the only thing that's fun is like if you have like a cool costume. And like as an adult, I don't have opportunities to have like a cool costume as often. So like, Reese's pumpkins. But
the next one from Michaela is, do you prefer warm weather or cold weather? Cold weather.
Cold weather.
I love jackets. I love sweaters.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Put me in a sweater. Put me in some boots. Like, I just love, like, I was just talking about this at work today. I was like, I can't wait for it to be like 40 degrees and I can put on like a nice jacket, mind you. Okay. Jacket. We're not talking winter coat.
No.
Be like 45 degrees, put on a jacket, and just, you can go outside and you can be like, oh, isn't this so nice?
Yes.
That's what, like, going outside and being like, I immediately want to die.
It was really nice this morning and it was really nice yesterday. And I was like, oh my God, I'm in heaven. Do you feel an M to F trans person would be accepted and allowed to compete for an Olympic spot? The rules say allowed. So I think if somebody was able to navigate all of the obstacles that are in place between being a young person and then like being of mm-hmm. competition age, I do think that USAG at this point, but because I don't think that we're that close to that happening, because the policies have just allowed for the kids who could be that person to start training as an authentic mm-hmm. gender, basically. So, or to be competing as their authentic gender. So it would be some time off. I think if and when that happens, I think USAG will tokenize the fuck out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're going to be like,
I think that if USAG thinks you can win a medal, they'll take you.
Yeah. What I think is going to happen a lot between now and then is going to be trans femme people doing things at younger ages that are now in alignment with like the better rules, but still feeling pushed out of the sport at a certain mm-hmm. point. And I think the likelihood of folks figuring out, like, part of why I think it is possible is because we're accepting older and older people, especially in WAG.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I think it would be a lot longer ways off.
Right.
But I think it would take a lot of coincidences and or otherwise like rule adjustments that I don't see them making voluntarily,
right,
in order for somebody to like actually have a system where they can thrive enough to get there and not be like stopped along the way. In particular, things I think about is like, this person would, if they were to like pop up tomorrow, they would have to naturally be very small,
mm-hmm.
because we don't currently allow for enough adjustment mm-hmm. in the equipment, and like that's changing.
Yeah,
but I think one of the things that will help with that being a thing is seeing more of those rules shift more and more in a direction that like actually is intended to benefit just like cis people, but then, like mm-hmm. also makes things more inclusive for trans people. For the record, I would love to be the person that USAG asks about what to do when this happens. And I'd love to be a person who helps USAG figure out why it's not happening when it's not happening for a while, even though they changed the rules.
Maybe you will be.
Yeah, just put it in the universe. Thoughts on that?
I mean, I agree.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I agree with you. Like, I mean, like I said, I think that, yeah, once we get someone to that level who's able to get through all the obstacles, like you said, I don't think that there will be an obstacle once you're at that level, because the US wants medals.
Yeah.
And if you are going to get a medal, then they're just going to be like, cool. But I think, yeah, I think that there's a lot of obstacles between that right now.
Yeah. And you also have to be like a strong enough person to be able to then handle what's going to be
the media.
Yeah.
Backlash.
And you have to have a USAG in place that would be able to back that person up and be able to put protocols in place to protect them. And like, that's the type of work that I would very much like love to do with USAG, is like help them figure out like how to make that.
Like, I just think of, I just like think of like some of the stuff like in the conversations that were happening at the Olympics, you know, and I'm like, you have to make sure that your organization is going to back you, because it's going to be hard, because you're always going to have your detractors, and you're always going to have people who say that you don't belong there, and like all of those things. So
at least like for enough people to make it harder to do that job as the athlete in a way that impacts like that everyone in the organization needs to be like very aware of for like a very long time. Like, I hope at some point it's not an issue. It's just like our lifetime stuff. I'm like, well, I don't know.
Right.
Where do you think Tom Forrest place will be in history of this sport? I don't think that when we, do you have thoughts on that first?
Yeah, I think it's, look, right now, and for the foreseeable future, Tom is in this position. I don't see that changing. And I think that, I think Worlds is going to actually make a huge impact on this. I think how he handles selection for 2021 Worlds is going to be a huge factor in his legacy, whether that's a good or a bad legacy. I think that he will be forever known as for what he did with the Tokyo Olympics and how he handled so many, like, I think that will forever tarnish his reputation. I think Tom is going to be like a blip.
I do too.
I think
everything that happened during his time that isn't him being whatever, good or bad, I think it's all going to get just like overshadowed by the things that athletes did in that time.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I don't know. I feel like the whole way he handled so many things will end up really, honestly, probably kind of going unnoticed in the grand scheme of gymnastics. They'll remember this, but people will forget like the trial snubs and the fact that he chose straight all around rankings for the first junior worlds. And like,
it's hard for me to tell.
But also it depends on what happens in the next quad, I think, too.
Yeah, it's really hard for me to tell right now, I think, how much people are going to remember or not remember the snubs part of it. And that, I think, I will never forget. And that, to me, I think is going to be the really interesting question, is like, are we about to be those people who won't let it go? Or is this actually going to be like a big part of how we talk about him? And then I just like,
it will
know.
Forever be. I am going to hold on to this grudge against Tom as long as he's held on to the one that caused him to make that decision. You know what? Tom made a decision, in my opinion. I don't know Tom, so maybe that's not true. Don't sue me. I think Tom made a decision based on a grudge. from 25 years before. That's what I believe. I think it heavily influenced his decision. And I think that decision ultimately ended up negatively influencing other people and not just the selection of the Olympic team.
Yeah.
I think it goes back farther than that, because I think it goes all the way back. I think it goes all the way back to 2018 world selection. Like,
yeah,
I think that Tom stepped into this role. And there are times when I think being like, yes, I think there are times when like, yes, the scores matter. Like, if you want to say, I like the rule that the top two people at trials automatically get a spot. I think it's a good rule. I think that the fact that Tom's grudge or whatever his issue is stems back to the person, one of the people who got taken instead of his own gymnast was Shannon Miller, like really discredits a lot of his argument for his own gymnast.
Yeah. Like if this,
like
is
what, if Simone got sixth, would you not have taken Simone?
Right. So it's just like a mess. So I read this question as, yeah, I read this question as like the, in like the big scheme of history, like what do we kind of like remember about him or this time?
Blip,
I think like
blip.
Mostly people are going to forget. I think people are, I kind of think people are going to like remember the end of the MARTA era. And then be like, and then what happened? And then like, whoever the next person is, who's either like really, really, really good or makes history in some way as like the first whatever.
I feel like people, hi Gus.
Or though, remember Tom, if he like does something absolutely terrible.
Yeah. Or I feel like if Tom does something really, really good and it's like, like everybody's predicting, you know, it is like the U.S. is not like the gymnastics powerhouse in the sense of like they're going to run away with a billion points anymore that they were, which is totally fine. Like, whatever, that's just how sports work. But I feel like if Tom like suddenly like pulls out like a team and that they win them, people are like, oh, it was all Tom's doing. They're still dominant. And I'm going to be like, it's not Tom's doing, though.
No, I don't think
they feel like. You don't think that people would like be, if suddenly.
No, I don't think people are going to give Tom that much credit for anything. Like, it, I think we've learned at least enough to like give athletes way more credit. I don't know.
Okay. I'll backtrack what I said. I think that.
You don't have to backtrack it. I just think that.
No.
That would be nice. I just don't like, I don't.
I don't want that to happen. I don't want people to give Tom credit for things that are ultimately like.
No, I just mean like I want him to like do a good job.
I still, like, yeah, I want him to do a good job, but I also don't want like him learning better techniques and strategies to select teams to also be like, okay, yeah, that's your job.
Yeah, no. Yeah, like
that's what I want to be.
He needs to become competent in the areas of his jobs where I feel like he's maybe not.
Right, and he's not competent, so I feel like suddenly if he becomes competent, people will be like, he's doing so good. I'm like, no, he did his job.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna amend All Things Gymnastics podcast to just speed it up, and also because I think what like to speed it up, I'm gonna amend this to that second half. Which college gymnastics team would we want to be on?
Ooh.
The answer is definitely like not UCLA because I don't dance.
I would not fit in at UCLA. I like to bat dance poorly, but I would, I.
And I, my answer is not Michigan. I would not want to, I stand by the fact that I would not have enjoyed like a state school experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd probably genuinely have most enjoyed like a D3 experience, but if I had to pick a D1.
What about a D3 state school?
No, probably.
I'm just saying, I was clarifying that a D3 school can also be a state school.
Yeah, no, probably.
I don't know. One of those like tiny East Coast schools. I don't know.
Like, vibes who I would like mesh best with. I wasn't thinking about like geography.
Oh, I was thinking about geography.
Like, I'm trying to like not be a trans person in this situation, which is like impossible. Not Washington with whatever is going on there currently in like coaching debacle.
Right.
But like maybe Washington.
I mean, Cal, because I would love to go to Cal just in general.
Yeah, I actually did think Georgia, but like, that's like the cishet version answer. I would want to be in the East Coast. There's like aren't a ton of teams over there.
Yeah, but they're all little teams.
Yeah. But I would want to be in the East Coast probably in actuality. I probably would have looked at like Illinois.
But... Oh, what about Pitt? Like,
oh yeah, my answer might Pitt actually be like, Pitt.
My answer is like, probably Pitt. Great. Like
my answer might be Pitt, yeah.
I don't know, like Pitt like has really good vibes, like yeah. Good school.
Yeah, maybe my answer is Pitt. Yeah. I'm not
going to go to a school in the SEC. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think you just, yeah, I think maybe Pitt. A couple more questions.
Are any of them silly?
Yes.
Oh, this morning I woke up to a message.
To a text.
To a text that was, I have a question for the podcast. Are you straight? And it was like
from Morgan Heard.
From Morgan Heard. And I was like, and I was laying there this morning and I was like, wait, but I didn't realize that it was for the episode. So I was like, wait.
Said, Morgan... I have a stupid question for you.
Yeah. And I was like, wait, Morgan, do you really not wait, what? And then I realized, oh, it's a joke. But I was like very disoriented. And I was like, why is Morgan Heard asking if I'm straight? Does she really think I'm straight?
Oh, dare. Yeah. How dare you?
It was very funny, though.
That was funny. Lauren, formerly the UCLA gym source, Lauren asked for top five. I amended when I told you about this question ahead of time. I amended it to top three.
And then I amended it to top three bars routines. So ever. I don't. Well, that's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
That can be two questions. Top three favorite UCLA floor routines. Note that, so I want to acknowledge the conversation that we had about it.
It's yeah, because I'm just like, okay, first of all, like I pay attention. I do.
A lot of the stuff is problematic for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Including just like the storylines people gave, cultural appropriation, etc. Right?
Yeah.
So I said, then just don't pick ones that were those things. So my answer, and the third one I feel like I can be swayed on.
Mm-hmm.
My answer is number one, Mars voguing routine.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is there's like one video of it. Nobody like ever saw it. I did that the other day. Kina broke a hanger. My number two is absolutely Sakai's boy band routine. And that is exactly the music that I would pick if I wasn't afraid of dancing and was a gymnast. Like that is, like that would be what I would do if I was like a drag king or something. Like that is that's my jam. And then my third one is I said Nia's like this year routine. I feel like I can be swayed there. Because that I went back and forth about that a lot with a bunch of different ones. And I thought about older ones, but I like those three better than all of the older ones that I really like.
I'm not incredibly well-versed in the old ones. Like I always say, I'm always so, like, especially because UCLA meets go so late, by the time we get to floor, I'm always very sleepy. Not that I'm not paying attention, because, like, I love, like, Shay's floor routine and Nia's and Mars's. Did you forget Shay Campbell? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to put Shay since Nia's.
I would put Shay in there. This is a no particular order. I would also include Ohashi's routine, but only with the split leg. Not that I don't like it without it, but I just, that's like one of my favorite things to watch, and I got to see it like live, and yes. I love that with the split leg. And honestly, anytime Pula's on the floor. But I think technically one of her routines was problematic because I think it was like something to do with Coco Chanel. So
yeah.
I'm not that one, but any of the ones that weren't problematic.
Yeah. I honorable mentions. would be Nora.
Yes, Nora. Also Fish.
Fish.
I really liked Fish's at the Meet the Bruins in the Flower Leo. I love that one.
Yeah, same. I was thinking about Fish. My answer, I think, for number three is Chase.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for what she does this year. Ah! My friend Riley, who is currently in my house in another room, sent me these questions with the caveat, really leaning into the stupid. I love these questions, though. Gymnastics is now suddenly a partner sport, like figure skating can be. Who is your dream partner pair? Like, what two people would you want paired together? Gender is irrelevant. Like,
okay, that was my next question.
Yeah, gender is irrelevant. Nora and Mars, probably.
Nora and Mars. Wait, does this have to be NCAA?
No, but that's my answer.
Oh yeah, no, I'm just thinking, like,
who else?
Wait, what kind of pairs is it? Is it like pairs bars, or is it like pairs beam? Imagine pairs beam.
The Gatterobas did pairs beam on a talk show like 2 days ago.
Love that for them.
Yeah. One of them almost fell on a split jump.
Nora and Mars.
Nora and Mars.
Yule and Alec. Yule Moldauer and Alec Yoder. They would be amazing.
Heath and Morgan is my answer.
Oh, Heath and Morgan, duh. How did we take that long to get there? Heath and Morgan, Horkina and herself.
No, Horkina and Simone.
No, just imagine. No, see, I think Horkina would literally be like, I'm gonna clone myself and do Paris gymnastics. I want
her with Simone so that it could just be like, and then like you film it as a reality television.
No. Horkina and Carly.
Yeah.
Just because Horkina would be so miserable the whole time.
Okay. A celebrity non-gymnast is suddenly in a competition. Who is it and why? This could be because you think they'd be actually good or because you hate them and want them to embarrass themselves at international television. I think this should be one. I think we should have one of each. That we should each have one we want to see because we would want to see it. And
like
one
see them do want, gymnastics.
And one who we would want to embarrass on national television, international television. Who aren't already people who do gymnastics. Because my answer is like,
so many people do gymnastics.
My answer is Denali from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh.
Who's already a figure skater and like can do flips and stuff. My second answer would be Kylie So Make Love, also RuPaul's Drag Race, who also is known for doing flips and stuff. And I think identifies like as a gymnast. Side note, I have put on Twitter before that I watch Denali on the podcast. I want to make this happen more than pretty much anything in the world. Kylie just, no spoilers, was on All Stars.
Oh, okay.
And so probably a little busy and popular at the moment.
Yes. I'm trying to think. I don't.
If Kylie were to have won Drag Race, which I'm not saying happened, she would be the first trans woman to win American Drag Race.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Very exciting, right? If that theoretically happens.
Especially because, like, isn't RuPaul, like, not into that?
Used to be, yeah.
Oh, he's improving?
Well, we couldn't tell how much he was pretending to improve and, like, how much he'd actually improved. But then, like, was super cool with Gottmik, who's a trans guy who was on season 13.
I don't know. Like, I would love to see Jonathan Van Ness.
Yeah, but already does gymnastics. That was my
already did gymnastics, so that would be like fun. But then like somebody who I don't like, who I would love to see embarrassed.
But no, but who like fully does not do gymnastics in any shape or form, which would you actually want to see because you think they'd be good?
Because they'd be good. You can't, or and we can't include like figure skaters.
No, because it would be entertaining. Because it would be entertaining, good or at least like dancey good or something.
Oh, I was thinking of things that would be funny.
Maybe
not
too.
Good.
They wouldn't feel embarrassed.
Oh, see, I was thinking about Shaq doing gymnastics because he's just such a large, like, imposing.
That would be good. That'd be good.
Like, that'd just be a weird concept. Who would be good at gymnastics? Who's never done it?
Kurama from Queer Eye would actually be a good choice.
Now I'm thinking of Anthony and how much I love him.
Anthony and Kurama are the answer then. Janae also really loves Anthony, which is great because if I was the most similar to one of them, it would be Anthony.
Also, he's so hot.
Yeah.
He really is. Like, I bought
his book. He's doing good for the name of Pollocks for sure. Like, it's, thank you, well, Anthony, for doing good for my people.
Also, his cookbook is very good. I highly suggest it. But also, just like, he's so beautiful and he's in all the pictures.
Who would you want to have to do gymnastics on national television and embarrass themselves? My first thought was Wendy Williams, not even because I like actively dislike her that much. I dislike her just enough to where I would find it funny.
I'm trying to think of someone who I like just don't really like that much, and I'm just like a celebrity who like really rubs me the wrong way, and I have no like rational reason for disliking them.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, but Tom Cruise, we have a reason to actively dislike him.
Yeah. I feel like I'd be someone who like thinks they're hot shit, you know?
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Like take him down a notch. Yeah, goop this, Gwyneth.
I'm trying to think. A Kardashian?
Yeah. I was going to say, what's his name? The space guy. Elon Musk.
Oh my God, Elon Musk. That's the answer. He's my favorite millionaire. I hate him so much. I'm so glad. Oh, you know what? The only reason I'm glad that he's into space, even though I hate the fact that he's into space, is because he's not hurting trains.
You know who I would actually want to see do men's gymnastics for realsies is Barack Jeff Obama. Bezos?
Oh, yeah. That'd be really interesting, actually.
I just want him in like an Iron Crush. Just like,
I feel. Yes, he would do. Yeah. I was imagining him doing beam, actually, because that was my first reaction, was Barack Obama doing beam? I don't know why.
I also just thought of, when you said beam, for some reason, I thought of Cher.
Imagine Cher doing floor.
We have to stop recording a podcast. I do. Not because it's gone too long, but because we got to Cher on the balance beam.
Okay, what's the last question?
That was it.
That was it. Do we have any other things that we need to talk about?
Have
we talked about Oklahoma joining the SEC and how I'm mad about it?
No, maybe, but
we can save that for another day.
It's less than ideal.
Let's save that for another day.
I'm trying to look to see if we got questions that for whatever like are showing up for me and not for in the podcast list.
This was really just like, hey guys, we're alive and
we're alive. We're
trying to schedule stuff.
We have really, really cool people who people have absolutely asked for before, who we are.
And they've
like,
said yes. We just don't
said
have.
Yes. We're just working on scheduling.
Like, also both remember, we're post Olympics.
Both of them involve tricky time zone calculations as well.
Like, we're in a very just like.
So we just have weird... to. We have to be in a place where we can have a little bit more flexibility, because we have to deal with time zones.
Well, I also just mean that like it's also still fairly soon after the Olympics and people are preparing for Worlds and like COVID and like all of these other things.
Yes.
So we still exist. We're still trying to do stuff. But we thought we'd at least come on and talk about something.
That almost feels like a spoiler to say it's like, well, they're like, but the Olympics just happened. But I guess technically, like.
No, I don't mean it in the spoiler really way. I just
one,
mean that like.
One or both of them would be impacted. So.
Yeah. And some of the people that we're talking about, like, are conversations that have been happening for a very long time. It's just, it's hard. And, you know.
Yeah. We're working on it, though.
And also, it's hard for us to also have an episode when it's after the Olympics and nothing is happening. Like, Spencer is even barely posting.
I know. They also took a break, which is very good.
Which is good for, they should. Yeah, I just mean that, have, like, nothing of note is happening, really.
We have, what, one more banked? Just full out
no, two. No, we have none banked.
We have full out two.
And that is not, I do not think that's seaworthy.
I don't either. I don't either. I,
that's what I'm saying. I don't think full out two is
that's seaworthy. That's a Patreon.
That's a Patreon. Like, it's not seaworthy. It was, you guys, so bad.
The movie is so bad. That when we talked about it, we were just like, it just like
half of it. It wasn't funny. I can give you a recap.
It wasn't funny. It was so bad compared to watching Fallout 1, which is bad in a funny way. Fallout 2 was so bad that it wasn't funny anymore.
Like, Fallout 2 has KJ Kindler going to a dance party with the students. Athletes.
It was like insultingly bad.
It was just weird. And also, there were just some really.
It was gross. So
weird things going on. It was like vaguely gay in a way that was also just like, why is this vague? And I don't want to say why is this vaguely gay, but like.
But then they didn't follow through.
They didn't follow through. And also these people, they're like, the thing is, you got to be really careful when it's real people.
Yeah. And also when and like, you're not going to follow, like, yeah.
If you're not going to follow through, like, also these are real people.
Yeah.
And like, are like.
Yeah, and also, like, you're just giving people romance lines, like, romance storylines that seemingly didn't exist in real life, and, like, you don't know if all those people are straight. Like, you just don't know anything about them.
You don't, but you also have to be very careful.
They can be married. You know what I mean? Like, they can be heterosexually married.
Yeah, like, are they heterosexual? Are they married? Are you implying something that we don't know that's true? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
is someone in their family going to think it's real and that it's like.
Exactly. And
the other question that All Things Gymnastics had was, what team would we want to be a part of? What Olympic team? And I was going to say, but then I was like, that's too hard for me at this moment.
One that when excludes the people who I want on there.
Well, I was going to say, I would have picked this one and then I would have pulled a sticket for Morgan.
Yes.
That's my answer. I have to go hang with my friend and eat Indian food. Follow us on the internet.
Yes.
Linktree, etc. And we'll try to have something to you in hopefully 2 weeks from now.
Maybe something will happen. Maybe we can have something. Maybe we can do a recap of a competition. I don't know.
Yeah, if you have something that you think we should talk about, let us know. Is there a competition you want us to talk about? Is there
that we've never talked about before? We could always watch a competition separately and then talk about our feelings about it.
Yeah, we watch them together. We can do lots of things. So
we can do lots of things.
We got like a couple more of those before we can put out ones, at least before we can put out ones that have the stuff that we're most excited about. So
don't abandon us just because there's not anything happening.
Yeah, it's just that time of year. So all right.
That time of year.
See you later.
See you later. Bye.
Bye. Thank God.